Today we're learning Nida Daf Yud Zayin. We're going to pick up where we left off from about seven lines from the top. Rabba Bar Rav Huna, at the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. If you remember, we ended off with not having Hamashamesh Mitato Bifnei Kol Chai. You shouldn't have sexual relations in front of any living beings, which then Rav Yehuda asked Shmuel, even mice? And he said, no, mice don't count, but any humans, basically, right, which they said, including slaves, can't be in one's bedroom. But now we're going to learn that there were different things that Moraim did. Okay, so the first is Rav Bar Rav Huna, Mekarkesh Zage Dechilta. He would shake, he would make a noise, he would shake bells when they were going to have sexual relations so that people would know and they would keep away, which is kind of funny to think about in our world, right? You would think that's not exactly appropriate, and in fact, not only that you might think that, right, that people know that they're having sexual relations, but even Tosfot and other Mefarshim say, what, that's not midat tzniut. So he had a bit of a different girsa, and his girsa is that he would wave away the bees that were around, okay, because he held that any chai, not just humans. Abaye bale didve, which is exactly what the second, that's the exactly, according to Tosfot, this is the same thing as the other one, and Rava Bale Paruche. Okay, they would each swat away the bug, the first one is the zvuvim, the bees, and the second is the mosquitoes. Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Chamisha Dvarein Hein She'oseh Otam Mitchayev B'Nafsho. We're continuing in lists of things that are not appropriate to do. Here they say, you're deserving of death, V'damo B'Rosho. Right? It's almost like he, you know, it's his own fault. He brought the death upon himself. That you're going to be a little surprised when you see what this is. Ha'ochel Shum Kaluf, if you eat peeled garlics, ubatzal kaluf, peeled onions, don't worry, we're not yet at the end of the sentence, ubetza klufa, peeled eggs, v'hashote mashkin mizugin, if you drink liquids that are diluted, she'avar alehen halayla. So according to most mefarshim, all of these things, it's not eating these on their own is such a problem, but if you eat them, if they were left out overnight, this sounds almost like a health hazard, right? If you leave these out overnight and then you eat them the next day, you're going to get sick and die from them. Okay, even though there are those who view this as kind of fear of evil spirits, that somehow there was a sense that evil spirits dwell among these things if they're left out overnight, and that it's not actually a physical thing, but it's more of a superstitious thing. Vehalan bebet hakvachot, one who sleeps in the cemetery, v'hanotel tziponam v'zorkan l'reshut harabim. Okay, if you take your nails, you cut your nails, and you throw them into the street. V'hamekiz dam u'meshamesh mitato, and one who does bloodletting, and then right after has sexual relations. Okay, we're going to get to details of these right now. Ha'ochel shum kaluf v'chule. V'av agav demanche besilta u'metzayre v'chatime. Okay, even though, and here we're going to see why most of the Mefarshim said it was a ruach ra'ah, we're worried about evil spirits. Again, evil spirits, okay, actually, I'll stop for a minute and I'll talk about evil spirits for a minute. Evil spirits were either the, you know, some kind of superstitious, that they were shedim and spirits wandering around things. Also, evil spirits could be understood as the way, again, it was their lingo to say, you should be scared of this and not do it, and maybe really they saw it as a health hazard. Okay, obviously, sleeping in cemeteries is not exactly a health hazard. That's a little more of a fear of evil spirits. We'll talk about what the issue with notel tzipornav and throwing them into Rishit HaRabim is, and the Hakazat Dam, which seems to be in a somewhat of a different category. Although also, in other words, if you say these are all health-related issues, it seems like that's probably health-related, and we'll talk about that soon. Remember, bloodletting was something they did regularly for health reasons. But it did, we've seen in a lot of sugyot that it weakened people, and that's the concern. If you're mishamesh mitato, while you're in a weakened state, that's not a healthy thing. So now about the shum kaluf and the other things that you're eating that were left overnight, they say even if it was manche besilta, even if it was in a basket, umetzayre, and it was tied up, v'chatime, and it was sealed shut, still, Ruach Ra'a Shara Alehen. Okay, if you leave these out overnight, even if they're sealed, it's still, the evil spirit can get in. V'lo amaran ela delo shiher bayan ikaran o klipatan. This is only if you don't leave the stem, the root of it, okay, like in the onions, you know, that root part of it with the stringing, with the strings hanging off of it, or o klipatan, or the peel. But this is not a concern if you leave, right? We leave out onions all the time overnight and garlics, but they're all in their peel. We wouldn't leave it out peeled. So all those things, if you leave them out peeled, unpeeled, then it's a, then it's okay. Or without the base of it in there, then it's a problem. V'hashotet mashkim zugin shavar lehen alayla. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. V'hu shelanu b'klema tachot. This isn't just leaving them out overnight, but it has to be, as the problem is, if it's in metal utensils. Amar Rav Papa, uklei neter k'klei matachot damu. And klei neter, which seems to be a kli made out of some type of white dirt, or right, stuff from the ground, I'm trying to think of the word, but it's some, right, alum, they call it. Okay, some, the kelim made out of alum are like klei matachot damu, so they're basically klei matachot, or these klei neter are problematic. V'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'hu shalanu b'klei matachot u'klei neter k'klei matachot damu. And also Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. V'halam b'beit hakvarot. What's the issue here? K'dei sh'tishcha alav ruach tum'ah. Zimnin d'misaknin le. This is like what we say, playing with fire. Okay, you go into the Beit HaKvarot, you want some Ruach Tum'ah to get upon you. You're kind of like looking for trouble. And they say, well, you might actually really get into trouble. Okay, what they say is like, this is the way, like the, you know, like foolish children, you know, play around, like they do something a little bit dangerous, and it actually turns into something dangerous. V'notel tziponav zorkan l'rashud ha'rabim. Mipnei she'isha me'uberet overet aleihen u'mapelet. I don't know if you've heard this before, but I definitely heard this, that if you throw your nails into the street, so some pregnant woman might step on them and miscarry. Okay, this sounds a little odd. Why they're going to miscarry from this, right? Theoretically, maybe there's a concern they're going to trip over it. So you shouldn't throw them in the street. Notice it specifically said Rashud HaRabim. And now we're going to see some other limitations. So here are the limitations. V'lo amaran ela deshakel biganustre. That's meaning you use scissors. Otherwise, if you, okay, here's a good one. If you bite your nails, then no problem, or you pick them off. V'lo amaran ela deshakel didei udekare. It means if you both do your fingernails and your toenails. V'lo amaran ela delo gaz midi batrayu. You didn't cut anything after that. Aval gaz midi batrayu. If you cut anything else after late lamba, which again, this all seems to be related to some sort of superstitious thing that doesn't happen somehow if you do it in this way and not that way. Seems a little odd. Again, we have a trouble understanding the world of superstitions. At least I personally do. And then they say v'lohi. Okay, but now the Gemara rejects this whole thing and says, Lekula milta chayshinan. In all these cases, we're actually concerned, and one should not take their nails and throw them out into Rashid Arabim, as the Gemara says, because there's a concern that it causes this pregnant woman who's going to walk over them, and she will have a miscarriage. So first of all, some people say, by the way, that you can notice from here that and the Gemara says this actually in Moed Katan, that you can throw them if there's a place where there's no women, because the whole issue is just relating to miscarriages. So if there's no women or no pregnant women walking by, so then theoretically there's not an issue to do it. Okay, fine. I don't know so much more what to say about that whole issue. It seems a little, again, all from the world of superstition, so how seriously we need to take this is a good question. Tanu Rabbanan, Shlosha Dvarim Ne'emru B'tzipornayim, Sorfan Chasid, Kovran tzaddik, zorkan rasha. Three levels of people. If you burn them, you're a chassid. If you bury them, you're a tzaddik. And if you throw them out, you're a rasha. If you just throw them, meaning throw them to the wind. Okay, again, maybe these were ways that they wanted people to keep basic, you know, cleanliness and order and not just be throw things out. So they kind of said it in these words, you're going to cause women to miscarry as a kind of, again, fear tactics, as we call them. Okay, Okay, so sorry, Haval Yolo Banim Vitkin. Okay, he's going to have children that are weak. It's word Vitakin, I think it's pronounced. Hikizu Shnehem Vishimshu Havilam Banim Ba'aleha Atan. Okay, they're particularly weak. Okay, this is something like more of a disease that they have this serious weakness. So basically, if both of them do hakazatam and then they have relations, it's even worse because you have two weak people rather than just one. Amarav v'lo amaran ela delo taim midi. This is if they didn't eat any food after bloodletting. Aval taim midi late lamba. But if they eat something, then that's not a problem. Amar Rav Chista, asur lo la'adam shishamesh mitato bayom. Now we're back to the issue of having sexual relations during the day. Shneamar v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Well, I would not necessarily have thought to connect that pasuk to this issue. So the Gemara also thinks it's strange. My mashma, where does this come from? How do you connect the pasuk to the halacha? Amar Abaye, and this is what we quoted yesterday. Shema yireba davar megunevet titgane alav. We're worried that he might see something disgusting in her, and he'll despise her, or he'll find it disgusting, and therefore, if you have to l'reacha kamocha, in order to connect the two of them and have love between them, sometimes it's better he doesn't see everything about her while they're having sex. Again, a little bit of a difficult source to swallow. Amar Rav Huna, Yisrael kadoshim hem ve'em shamshim mitotehem bayom. He says, the Jewish people are holy people and they don't have sexual relations during the day. If that makes it sound like it's an extra better thing not to do it, but not necessarily that it's usher. Amar Rava, ve'im haya bayit afel mutar. But if the house is dark, then it's not a problem, again, for the same reason, because then you won't see anything that you would despise in your wife, and therefore, or something ugly, and therefore it's allowed even during the day, even in the dark, as long as you make it dark. V'tamid chacham ma'afil b'ksuto m'shamesh. So then they say, tamid chacham, that's what he does. He makes it dark with his clothing, and as he covers somehow the windows with his clothing, I guess, and he can have relations. T'nan. Okay, so now they say, wait a minute, but we have a bit of an issue. Because the Mishnah says, we said you can't have relations during the day, but the Mishnah says, O tishamesh l'or haner, which sounds like you can have relations l'or haner. So how do we explain that? Ema tivdok l'or haner. Now, they didn't say tishamesh l'or haner. They meant you can check l'or haner, but not that you should have relations l'or haner. Another source that seems to contradict. Tashma, let's learn from this source. So there it said, even though, so however, it said, but Beit Shammai says, you need two edim on every tashmish, right? So what do you see? The Beit Shammai matir is having sex during the day. So, l'or haner. So, and it's not usher, it sounds like. So what do they say? Ema habodek mitato l'or haner hareza megune. The issue there wasn't, okay, notice what he changed here. It's not apal pishamu hamishamesh mitato l'or haner hareza megune. It's apal pishamu habodek mitato l'or haner hareza megune. Now, why would that be megune? Because you can't see so well, and you won't be able to really check the bedik cloth well. But so again, how do we read it now? Beit Shammai says, if you do it l'or haner, even though it's megunet, it's still, you know, you can do it. Okay? Tashma, third kushia. V'shabet mumbas hamelech, hayu osim shlosha dvarim umazkarim otam l'shevach. There were three things they did in the house of mumbas hamelech that were praiseworthy. Okay? This was a king from the Malchei Beit HaChashmonaim. Okay? It was the son of Hilenia Amalka. Comes up in the Gemara a bunch of times. So what would they do that was l'shevach? Hayu meshamshim mitotehem bayom. Well, that sounds weird. Why is that l'shevach? Haven't we said that meshamesh mitato bayom is a bad thing? There's our koshi. The second thing, bodkim mitotehem b'meila parhava. They would check, their wives would check themselves with this, with like a kind of cotton material. Vinohagim, which they would able to see any little teeny blood on it. Vinohagim tum avatara vishlagim, and they had laws of tum and tara by snow, which we're going to get to in a little bit. Katani miyat meshamshim mitotehem bayom, which seems to provide a contradiction to what we've said. So how do they answer that? Ema bodkim mitotehem bayom. They would check their bedikas during the day, okay, but not that they would actually have relations during the day, right? So they would check at night and look at them in the morning, which was a good thing, because if they looked lower on air at night, they wouldn't be able to see it so well. Hachinami mistaber, this also makes sense to say that, de'isal kadatach mishamshim, mazkirin otam l'shvach, it doesn't make sense to say that they would be praised for dafka having tashmish during the day. So now the Gemara says, no, in Hachinami. And here's a really interesting source, de'agav de'ika oneshena miganya ba'apeh. The dafka, it was a good thing to have sex during the day. Why was that? Because there's a problem sometimes with having sex at night. What's that? Because ika ona shena, sometimes people are very, very tired at night, and they'll have less sexual desire, and therefore it's going to end up being not the most pleasant experience, and therefore better sometimes, it's actually looked on as praiseworthy for someone who has sex during the day. That's interesting in the light of this whole sugya that we've seen. Now we're going to get to the other issues that they talked about, these three things that the people of Mumbaz HaMelech were known for. So now they say, this supports Shmuel, who said you shouldn't check unless you use these pikolin or tzemer gefen rach. Okay, pikolin is also a type of tzemer gefen, or some tzemer gefen that's clean and soft. Amarav, another additional thing about this, Hainu dechi havai hatam, ba'avei shabbatot havu amre, okay, he says, this is like what I saw when I was there, meaning Eretz Yisrael, that on Erev Shabbat they would announce, man bai pakoli benahama, who wants this cotton for bread? V'lo yadana mai kamar, and I didn't know what they were talking about. So what's this pakoli benahama, and that's what on earth does it have to do with bread? The assumption is that they were selling it for a debedika. Sometimes, by the way, bread is used, like they relate to bread and eating, and it's a euphemism for sexual relations. So they would sell it on Erev Shabbat, because that was when the Talmidei Chachamim slept with their wives at the end of the week. So, and also men who were away during the week, we had that whole thing about a man comes home after being at a week of work, right, and he doesn't know whether his wife is in Nida or not. So also other people would be coming home on Friday to have sex with their wives, so they would go buy this cotton to check for their bedikas. Amar Rava, Hane shachake tekitna ma'ale lebedika. Okay, these worn out flax garments were good for bedikas. Now the Gemara says, "Ini, is that really true? V'hatana de Menashe embot kina tamita lo be'ed adom v'lo be'ed shachor v'lo pishtan ele be'pakolino b'tzemer naki barach." So notice it says na pishtan, and the kitana is pishtan. So what are the answer? Lo kashi, we're talking about two different types. Ha b'kitana, ha b'mane de kitana. One is the flax, strands of flax, and one is actually a beged of flax. So a cloth of flax is already more whitened and better for bedika, but the strands are not good. V'ibayt ema, some people say hava haba mani de kitana, both are talking about a beged, a cloth made of flax, but haba chadete haba shachake. Dafka, the new ones are considered not good, and the worn out ones are considered good because they've been washed more, so they become more whitened. It's interesting. I would think the more we wash our clothes, the more, you know, something starts out white, it's no longer so white. But I guess somehow they maybe bleach their clothes, so after many times of bleaching, it would be white, right? Which is, for example, we call the melacha on Shabbat of washing is called milaben, from the lashon of lavan, white. Noagim tum avatara b'shlagim. Now we're going to understand what the sheleg issue is. Tanan hatam. Sheleg eno lo ochel v'lo mashke. It's not considered food, it's not considered drink. It's neither. In order for something to become tameh, it has to be either a person or a kli or food and drink. Sheleg doesn't fall into either category, which means it can't become tameh. Chishev alav l'achila. What if you decide I'm going to eat it? Well, guess what? Eno matameh tumat ochlin. That still doesn't make it tumat ochlin. But l'mashke, if I decide I was going to drink it, then matameh tumat mashke. Then it could have tumat of mashke. Nitma miktsato lo nitma kulo. Nitar miktsato nitar kulo. If nitma, a little bit of it, okay, snow is considered, if I have a big block of snow, each particle is considered separate. So if some of it became tameh, the rest of it doesn't become tameh. This is assuming we're talking about tumat mashke. But if nitar miktsato, now when it comes to water, if you want to be metame water, metaher water, okay, if food gets tameh, you can't dunk it in a mikveh. It doesn't work. But if water becomes tameh, if you attach it to a mikvah, it's metaher the water. So now, if nitar miktzato, nitar kulo, if you attach the snow to water, it's what we call hashaka, it's like kissing the water, so it's touching it. So all of the snow, if you put the snow right next to the mikvah, and it's touching it, the entire block of snow will become tahor. So the Gemara says, Hagufakashya, this doesn't make any sense. Amarta nitma miktzato lo nitma kulo. You said if part of it gets tameh, the whole thing doesn't become tameh. Vahadr tameh, and then you said, nitar miktzato nitar kulo. Lememra dinitma kulo. The assumption of the second part, which is if you purify part of it, the entire thing becomes pure, that sounds like, well, part of it became tameh, and then the entire thing became tameh, because now we're trying to purify the entire thing. Why do we need to purify the entire thing if only part of it became tameh? So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, obviously we're talking about a case where the entire thing became tameh. Now how could that be? Because usually it's tameh by touching it, and usually you don't touch the entire thing. Well, now they're going to say, here's an example of where the entire block of snow would actually become tameh at once. Kigon sheviro al avir tanur, da torai ida kli cheres afilu. Afilu malei chardal. Okay, if you take a kli cheres, if you remember, the airspace of the kli cheres is metame. So you take the snow and you put it into the airspace of a kli cheres. So that's basically going to be metame your entire block of snow. Okay, and that's the case they're referring to. Mashal. Okay, new mishnah. Mashal mashalu chachamim biisha. Acheder v'haprozdor v'haliyah. Okay, now we're going to talk about different parts of the woman's body, and they're going to call them the room, the hallway, and the upstairs. Okay, this is obviously euphemisms for terminology, okay, but it's a little bit unclear, and there's a bit of a debate about what exactly all these parts are. The cheder is obvious, that's the uterus. The prosdor, the hallway, okay, some people say, okay, just to point out, the Chatam Sofer basically says, he tried to look into this, and he says that the explanations of Rashi and Tosfot don't really work out with the physical reality of women's bodies. You can imagine that they didn't have, nowadays one can look in online or anywhere and find diagrams of women's bodies and the anatomy. They obviously either didn't have them or didn't confer with them. And he claims that we have to rely on the Rambam in this instance. So the Rambam holds that the corridor is the vaginal canal. Okay, exactly which parts it includes is a question. It could refer to the cervix, okay? Then there's the aliyah, okay? Again, there's a bit of a debate. The Rambam claims it refers to the ovaries. Other people claim it's the bladder. Okay, so again, it's not exactly clear what all these parts are. So now we're going to decide what, we're going to talk about what the status of each of these bloods are. Dam ha-cheder tameh, that's clear. It comes from the uterus, it's tameh. Dam ha-aliyah, but if it comes from this aliyah, either it was coming from the ovaries or from the bladder, it's tahor, because the assumption is that that's not coming from the uterus, and therefore it's tahor. Nimtzaba prosdor, what if you find the blood in the prosdor, the vaginal canal, and then you don't know where it came from? So sveko tameh, they say, we assume, this is interesting, it sounds like it's suffik tameh, but not really. What they mean is sveko, if you're not sure about it, it's tameh, it's vadai tameh. Why is that? Lefisha chezkato mina makor. Because the chazaka is that if blood's coming from there, the assumption is it's coming from the makor. So Rami bar Shmuel v'Rav Yitzchak b'rei de'Rav Yehuda tanu. Okay, the following rabbis, Rami bar Shmuel and Rav Yitzchak, the son of Rav Yehuda, had the following tanu nida be'Rav Huna. They were learning Masechet Nida in the house of Rav Huna in the Beit Midrash. Right, obviously not the Masechet Nida that we have in front of us. Right, they were learning laws of nida. Eshkechinu Rabba Bar Rav Huna, so he, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, came upon them. To Yatve v'Ka'amre, he heard them saying the following: Hacheder mibifnim v'haprosdor mibachutz v'aliyah benuyal shtehen. Okay, so the cheder is on the inside, the prosdor is on the outside, v'aliyah benuyal shtehen. Okay, so what exactly does this mean? It sounds like that it's built and it's you can really, it's found above both of these sections. And then it says, v'lu patuach bein aliyah leprosdor. Okay, there's like a vestibule between the upper part and the hall, the corridor. Okay, the hallway there. So basically, there's this little space that goes in between this aliyah to the prose door. And that's how blood can come from the, right? You can have blood coming from there going out, okay? Now, if nimtza, so now the question is, nimtza min halul v'lifnim, if it's from this area where it's coming out and further in speko tame, because we can assume it comes from the uterus. Because it wouldn't be getting there otherwise. Min halul v'lachutz, speko tahur. But if it goes from this lul to the outside, okay, in other words, if you imagine, it's hard to imagine this without seeing a diagram, okay? If you have a Schottenstein, they have a diagram. So the concept is here is that if you can see from, if you have the diagram, like I said, you can see that there's, it's almost like, I'll try to explain it in words, you have the uterus and then this hallway area coming out, and then from there it can kind of go out of the body, okay? So that's, let's say, on the, right, on one side coming, let's say, if you, right, going downward. But, and let's say it's toward the, right, if I'm looking at this diagram anyway, assuming the Schottenstein is the accurate diagram, again, it's really hard to understand what they're referring to because they didn't use diagrams to show. But if it kind of goes on the bottom side, then we're going to assume it came out on the underside or the left side. If it's coming from the right side, and that's where they're saying this lul is, and the aliyah is coming from there, and then it goes through the lul, and it goes sort of out in that direction, it comes out the other side. Again, I don't know how these women are noticing exactly which side the blood is coming out from, but if it comes out from that side, then, or you find it on that side of the vaginal canal, then we're going to assume that we're going to say speko tahor. Okay? So that's what they start with by saying. Okay, so the first opinion is Rami Bar Shmuel and Rav Yitzchak Bar Rav Yehuda, who says, right, min halul v'lifnim speko tameh, and halul v'lachutz speko tahor. Atava amrele la'avua. So Rabbi Bar Rav Huna heard them saying this, and he said it to his father. Speko tameh amarlam Rav, did you tell them that the suffix is tameh? Now, at this point, when they say Sveko Tamei, even though we said in the Mishnah, Sveko Tamei meant, if you have a suffix, it's Vadai Tamei. Here, he assumes that what they meant was, it's Suffix Tamei. So he says, why would you call it Suffix Tamei? If it comes from the Luv Lifnim, wouldn't you say, Chizkato Minam Akortnan? The Chazaka is it's coming from the uterus. So Amar Lei, so Rav Huna answers him, Ana Hachi Kamina. This is my Shita. As you thought. Really, you're right. It's vaday tameh if it comes on that side. Now he changes it. When he says tahor, he didn't mean tahor. What he meant was the suffix, okay, its suffix is tahor. Okay, its suffix is tameh. In other words, meaning it's suffix tum. Okay, so again, Rami Bar Shmuel and Rav Yitzchak Bar Rav Yehuda said, sveko tameh, if it's lulav lifnim, minalulav lachut sveko tahor. Rav Huna changes it, and he says, no. If it's minalul v'lifnim, it's vaday tameh, and then it's sveko tameh, it's not vaday tahor. If it comes on the other side, it's sveko tameh, because maybe it came from the aliyah, maybe it came from the other side, from the uterus. So Abaye now says, Amar Abaye, maishna minalul v'lachutz disveko tameh. What's your issue? Why would you think minalul v'lachutz, it's sveko tameh? Why wouldn't it be vaday tahor? Hooray, if it comes from that side, it's fine. If it comes from that side, it's problematic, right? Why would you say, right, one side for sure it's the uterus, the other side it's for sure from whatever, however you define what the aliyah is, right? This either, right, what do we say? It's either the, either the ovaries or the bladder. So if you have that distinction, then either it should be vaday tahor or vaday tameh. So why would you say sveko tameh? It must be didilma shachata umecheder ata. Maybe the woman moved around and the blood moved from one side to the other. If you're going to say that, though, minaluv lifnim nami, ema izdaka umealia atu. In other words, you should say, if it's on the other side, which is generally the side we say is vaday tameh, maybe she stood straight and maybe, you know, because she stood straight and it went the other way and then maybe the blood came from one side to the other and maybe it's actually tahor blood, so it should be safek. So he's basically saying both sides, theoretically, according to what you're saying, should be safek. So we started with, again, I'm just going to keep reviewing, The first option is to say, Luv lifnim speko tame, luv lachut speko is tahor. Okay, so either, right, we're going to say one side is maybe tame and the other side is tahor, or, you know, likely tahor. And then they said, no, the second option was to say, right, Rabba Bar Rav Huna questioned and said, isn't it vadai tame? And then Rav Huna answered, you're right. Luv lifnim is vadai tame, and luv lachut is possibly tame. And then Abaye says, theoretically, they should both be suffek, because we're not sure. Maybe the bloods got mixed up, and nothing should be vadai anything. But he kind of asks that, rejecting the other opinion. And then he himself says, Elam Rabaye, I batar chashasha azalt, if you're concerned about things moving around, idi v'idi safeki. V'i batar chazaka, in other words, if you're worried that something moved, the blood moved around, then you should say they're both safek. V'i batar chazaka azalt, but if you go after chazaka, meaning, again, the blood, you normally assume the blood goes its regular way, then min haluva lifnim vadai tameh, and min haluva lachutz vadai tahor. It should be vadai everything, right? This side is always problematic, and this side is never problematic. So then he splits into, right, that last opinion splits them into, each is vadai, just vadai tameh, vadai tahor. Okay, so we have four different shitot about how to do this. And now, we're going to see braitot that also disagree about this issue. And when we're going to try to relate all the different shitot of the Amoraim to these opinions. Tani Rav Chia, dam nimtza b'prozdor, chayavin alav al biat mikdash. If you find blood in the prozdor, we consider that vadai tamei, which means that if you went into the mikdash and you forgot that you were tamei from this, a woman goes into the mikdash, she has to bring a korban. V'sorfin alav et hatruma, and any truma she comes in contact with is going to be burned. V'Rav Katina amar, ein chayavin alav al biyat hamikdash, ve'ein sorfin alav et hatruma. So what do you see here? The Rabbi Chia Braita, right? His version is, it's vaday tameh, and Rav Katina says it's safek tameh. So lahach nishna da amar abaye, ibatar chashash azilt, right? If you say, we go by chashash, and then both are sveikot, so maseyele le Rav Katina, that supports Rav Katina's version. U'pligad Rabbi Chia, and he disagrees with Rabbi Chia. But lahach lishna, according to his second option, which was ibatar chazaka azalt, right? Now the Zabai says either you can go by, remember he said, either you can go by we're concerned that the blood got mixed up and then everything's going to be safek, or we can go by the fact that there's a chazaka that from this side it's this way and that side it's that way, and every case is badai. One side is badai tahor, one side is badai tameh. So if you say ibatar chazaka azalt, then maseyele le Rabbi Chia, then that's going to support Rabbi Chia's interpretation, upliga de Rav Katina. Okay, and then it disagrees with Rav Katina. So far, we've matched up Abaye to, right, each lashon of Abaye, each option of Abaye fits with a different opinion here from this braita. In other words, again, let me just clarify. Tani Rabbi Chia brings the following braita, and then Rav Katina, who's an Emora, says, no, my version is that it's ein chayavin. In other words, each one had a different version of this braita. There were two versions of the same braita. Is it damanim tzab prozdor chayavin alav biyat hamikdash v'sorfin alav tatruma? Or according to Rav Katina, his version was ein chayavin al biyat hamikdash v'ein sorfin alav tatruma. And each of Abaye's options match each of these. And tomorrow we're going to get to how does everything else, the other opinions, work out with these two approaches.